Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If the God of the Bible really exists, I would go gladly to hell. And anybody happy to go to heaven to worship such a creature is morally bankrupt.
It is because God's wrath is real that his mercy is relevant. Unless you have a real wrath, the biblical concepts of mercy and of grace are robbed of their meaning.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Like it or not, nothing. But good news, this is Wretched Radio. How much can we stand of good news? We get bombarded by the rotten stuff. How's about a dose of some good stuff, starting with a good news story that causes me to scratch my head. I thought homeschooling was for rubes, dum-dums, Neanderthals, people who are lazy, and yet it looks like, maybe thanks in part to COVID, maybe thanks in part to an awful lot of terrible sex ed business, homeschooling skyrocketing in 2020, as much as 700% in some states. That has been a market dominated by mostly evangelical Christians, people who don't want their kids to be exposed to whether it's evolutionary worldviews, the sex ed, the bullying that happens. By the way, have we ever resolved this issue? Have you noticed in your town that there are people setting up shop to pass out literature about stopping bullying? Stopping bully, about gerunding, stopping bully. Who are these people that are trying to stop bullying? And how exactly do they purport to go about the business of keeping kids from being mean to one another? I'd love to see that curriculum probably involve some sex ed, just because that's what they seem to be teaching these kids these days. 700% increase also includes people who are not Christians, people who have just had enough of the system, or because they had to stay at home and they went, you know what, we think we can handle this. If you happen to be a Christian who is considering homeschooling, please note perhaps a couple of helpful hints. Number one, if you're afraid that it's going to be hard, your fears are warranted. Oh, I know. We're not supposed to talk about homeschooling like that, are we? We are all supposed to imagine that homeschooling means that the children, when they wake up at the sunrise in order to study their Latin vocables, and then cut the firewood for the winter. And then they come in and make breakfast and do the dishes so that they can sit down dutifully at their tables to do their homeschool work. And get done, by the way, at noon, because the other kids, they have to go till 3 or 4. They get done at noon. And that means they can enhance their athletic skills or take their piano lessons. Well, that's a nice image. Just isn't always reality. Is it worth doing? Absolutely it is. But have we perhaps painted a picture that's a little rosier than reality? I know that we have. Number two, if you don't know what curricula that you're supposed to be, yeah, I...
Here we go again.
I'm sorry. I'm stuck. Hey, at least I didn't forget my wallet and watch twice over the weekend.
Let's go
the exact same location. I actually returned to get them and forgot it a second time. Let me tell you, calling up the missus with that news the first time wasn't terrible. The second time, I have to admit, when I'm sitting in the parking lot at Walmart going, I don't have my wallet again, wasn't the highlight.
That's the beginning of Alzheimer's.
My Saturday. What's it called?
Old timers.
I see. And I simply had to remind her, I'm not the one who said, hey, I found a kitchen towel in the freezer the other day. So maybe we're marching together. Did you see, speaking of Alzheimer's, there is finally a drug. Now, it's a bit of a questionable sort of affair because the people who specialize in these things, they're not sure that it does much good, but there has not been an advancement in Alzheimer's treatment in about 17 years. No new medication. What is going on? I know that the country is kind of busy tearing down the foundations of the nation, but couldn't we be maybe spending some time to deal with a disease that is truly a reminder of the atrocity of death? In fact, I was actually thinking about Alzheimer's and the slow march toward just your faculties not being able to function because your brain, which is the command center, your brain isn't you, it's just the mechanism, which means if you've known somebody with Alzheimer's and you wonder why are they acting this way, it's because their brain is misfunctioning. I don't think that you should ascribe whatever it is that maybe was shocking to you as, well, that's them. No, it's their brain. And we are not our brains. So if a brain is misfiring, causing a loved one to say mean things, bad things, hateful things, it's just their brain misfiring. Now, why do we go through such a long march toward death, which we do? Was pondering the idea of old age. Why is it such a rather, for most people, an unpleasant chapter in life? Things don't work right. People forget their wallet twice in the same location, and their bodies go kafritz. It should, if nothing else, remind us this is the wages of sin. It's death, and even though our sins are paid for by Jesus Christ, we still experience the effects of the fall. And this thing called death, It's who is looking forward to the process? It is a reminder of sin. So maybe, just maybe, if you've entered the chapter where you're uttering things like, well, yeah, I've got Alzheimer's disease, or yeah, I'll tell you, it's not as easy as it all sitting down. Those commercials, they ring true about the guy who's training the young people to not become their parents. Yeah, all that sitting down, I make noises. I wake up with the birds. All of that is a reminder of sin, which should be a trigger for us to go, but we've got a Savior, and one day this is going to be done. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more aches and pains, no more forgetting a towel in the refrigerator or in the freezer. Perfect joy. No degrading bodies, all made right the way that it was supposed to be. Oh, for that day. And should you be at the stage of life where you're thinking about homeschooling the kids and you don't know about what curricula to pick, here's my advice for you. Go to a homeschool conference. If you are thinking about homeschooling, this is what you're likely doing. You find out somebody's a homeschooler, and you're like, hey, well, so what do you use for the books? What do you use? Because maybe you're in a bit of a panic. There's not enough stuff out there. The reality is there's a tidal wave of stuff out there, and that's what you'll sense if you go to a good homeschool convention like the Teach Them Diligently conference. I'm sure there's others, but that's the one where I tend to hang out. They are packed with people who have curriculum, excellent curriculum, where they actually try to integrate, for instance, God into history. This is always a bit of a tricky one, because translating, if you will, interpreting history, it's something that I actually believe we should do, but we need to do it carefully and not definitively. If God is controlling the universe, and he is, if God has established everything that is going to happen in eternity past, doesn't it make sense that he's writing history and that you and I should be able to study it and look back and go, there's what he was doing right there. That's what's happening right there. This was a movement right there. And he's working it out in individual lives, but we can see big events, big turnings. And it's not just, for instance, the Protestant Reformation. You can look back throughout the Middle Ages. You can look back to the early centuries. Take a look at Rome and Greece and Mesopotamia. And don't just study it as historical fact, like, okay, this is the reign of this particular nation, then this nation, which is a typical, boring history class. just memorizing dates. Here's the famous people. Here's the big battles. Question, what was God doing in that? Because he wasn't doing nothing. Otherwise, it wouldn't be happening. But it happened, and that means God is doing it. And that means there's a reason for it. A good Christian homeschool curricula will do that for you. It will interpret it to a degree for you so that you can see the hand of God working and moving in history because he is. Don't start a new denomination over this. We've got enough denominational splits going on. We don't need another one. By the way, speaking of denominations that are at risk at the moment, seriously, be praying for the SBC convention going on this week. And it's a big deal. We will see how many people are represented in the denomination, which nobody wants it, but it could lead towards Splitsville. You've got a more liberal candidate. You've got somebody who is perceived as middle of the roadish on the CRT business. And then you've got somebody on the right-hand side who's like, eh, kill it. Kill it with fire. Who will get how many votes? That will tell us just exactly what the makeup of the SBC is. Please consider a homeschool convention if you're thinking about joining the pagans who are now starting to homeschool. Fancy that. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thank you so much for being here today at Wretched Radio. If you didn't listen, we'd be doing this to... Now, I'm not exactly sure why we'd be doing it, but by the grace of God, you are listening. You choose to tune in here every day, and for that, we are thankful, and we'd also be grateful if you would prayerfully consider joining our mission in reaching millions around the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We also strive to equip people to preach the gospel and to help strengthen the local church. You can join our efforts by becoming a monthly gospel partner. Wretched will always honor your generosity with faithful stewardship and full accountability, because we fully understand without you, there would be no us. We would be eternally grateful if you would consider partnering with us by visiting wretched.org/donate or by texting the word wretched to the number 44321. That's wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to 44321. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Surprise! I continue to be surprised by MediShare, even though I researched it like nobody's business before Mrs. Friel and I committed to affordable, biblical health sharing as opposed to our traditional insurance plan. I researched, but I did not know all of the things that I'm discovering about MediShare. For instance, people are way more satisfied after making the switch. The customer satisfaction rate is double that of typical health insurance plans. Double. Is MediShare right for everyone? No, nothing really is. But it might be right for your family, and you might be very, very happy with it, especially when you're saving on average $500 per month per family. Interested? Learn more at MediShare.com/wretched or receive a quote within 2 minutes by calling 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
The father of lies has been a murderer from the start. His MO hasn't changed in 6,000 years. He desires to deceive people into doubt, and that can ultimately lead to disjointed desires, affections, behaviors, thinking, and worship. But Jesus is much better at what he does, telling the truth and giving life abundantly. And we want to help remind you of all the promises God has given us and just how much his word is sufficient for all of our struggles. Drive-by Biblical Counseling 3 is here. It's a 63 lecture series that biblically tackles issues like abuse, self-harm, eating disorders, addictions, and suicide. Order your copy right now and start learning how to apply the truth of Scripture to your life and to your struggles. God hasn't left us empty-handed. Drive-by Biblical Counseling 3 is available right now at wretched.org/counseling3. That's wretched.org/counseling3.
Books of the Bible. The gospel is present throughout all of Scripture, beginning with the book of Genesis. Immediately after the fall, God promises a Messiah who will crush the head of the serpent. Even in the Garden of Eden, God was preparing the means of our salvation through
through Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel. Huh.
Perhaps my wallet isn't the only thing I forgot. This is Wretched Radio. I'm ashamed of myself talking about the homeschooling business without mentioning Road Trip to Truth actually has a homeschool curriculum. Shame, shame on me. I'm going to go throw some dirt on my animal to express my disgust. Jimmy, you still got those potsherds in there?
Those what?
Potsherds.
Sure.
So I can scratch my boils when I sit in sackcloth and ashes.
Oh, yeah.
Misery. Doom, displeasure, agony on me. How did that song go? You know, you're from Tennessee. Remember that song?
No, I don't.
From Heat. Wait.
Hee-haw?
Yeah.
I do remember Hee-haw.
I'm from Minnesota, and I remember the Hee-haw better than the boy from Tennessee.
Yeah, well, you know, Hee-haw was a little bit past my time.
Yeah. I was just a babe, but the memory back then apparently was better than it is today because I forgot my wallet twice, even though I made a trip to get it the second time. And forgot to tell you, the Road Trip to Truth, it is season one. The homeschool, we've got a Sunday school curriculum. The homeschool curriculum is a lot more, and it's accredited. And you can find it at Road Trip to Truth. You can find it at wretched.org. Just visit Road Trip, and you'll see that there's a curriculum. You can get the DVD. The kids watch segments of the 13-episode series, and then they dive deeper into these studies so that they can develop a Christian worldview. It's outstanding. I just can't believe that I would forget to mention it where we're talking about homeschool. And Jimmy, as long as you brought up the Southern Baptist Convention.
Yes.
The divide that is there, I think, will be manifested. You just mentioned 14,000 people have registered.
Yes.
So the 14,000 messengers.
Right.
I'll tell you, it's kind of tidy and convenient right now because you've got a guy who's on the CRT issue. That's the big deal right now. He's on the left-hand side. You got a middle-of-the-road guy, not exactly sure which way he tips on certain things because he hasn't tipped his hand. And then you've got a guy to the far right. The vote, especially the first vote, going to tell you where they're at. It's going to be fascinating because it's going to have implications as to the future of the SBC. If it's like a third, a third, a third, I'm telling you, it's going to be contentious for a season. Here are the issues that are at stake with the Southern Baptist Convention. There's a lot of articles that are being written about the subject, and I thought that this was rather helpful. This was from the Wall Street Journal, of all places. Our Lord isn't woke. Southern Baptists clash over their future. That's the headline written by Ian Lovett. Here's how he defines the divide in the SBC. Whether you're SBC or not, try to figure out where you slot into this, because you likely do somewhere, maybe even with a foot in a couple of camps. One faction argues the SBC should step back from its role in electoral politics in order to broaden its reach and reverse a 15-year decline in membership. That's one faction, and as I understand it, that is the, I'm calling him more liberal, he probably wouldn't like that term, but on the CRT issue, more accepting of the CRT business, more of a push toward racial efforts to try to change the complexion of the SBC, which is 90% white, 10% everybody else. That is the group that doesn't want politics to be in the forefront of the convention anymore. They want the ERLC blotto. They don't want to be a political action committee. They want politics gone. That's one section. However, another faction says the denomination has been drifting to the left, and the way to retain and attract members is to recommit to its conservative roots and stay politically engaged. So that would be the guys on the far right side. I think they're calling it the Conservative Baptist Movement. Go back to being the Southern Baptist Convention that was stout and robust and defended theology. All of it, not just one or two pet issues. But all of it, perhaps including especially the role of women in the church, these also want to have more politically engaged activities in the SBC. So on the right-hand side, the conservative side, they still want a more political activism from the SBC. That is another swirling of the issues. Question, where would you fit in this? What camp would you find yourself in? Jimmy, if I asked you,
yes,
are you a guy who would say, SBC, get out of politics, SBC, stay in politics, you would say?
That's a tough question to answer.
You're just doing chin boogie.
No.
It just sounded, all of a sudden, where did that...
I don't support the...
You're like Mr. Political Voice.
No.
Well, that's a difficult question. Thank you for your question, Ted.
No, I am more of the conservative movement and think there needs to be a recommitment to the conservative beliefs.
I agree. But what about the engagement? That is the same group, though, that appears, if this assessment is correct, also wants the SBC to be politically engaged.
Well, and I think there should be some semblance of that, but maybe not as much as there has been.
Okie dokie.
So I can see it a little bit from both sides.
Yeah, see, it seems to me that some of the observations about the SBC being known as much as a political force, as a spiritual force, or perhaps even more of a political beast, I think those critiques, they're probably accurate. And I think the SBC, in my humble opinion, even though I forget my wallet twice, and to mention the homeschool curriculum that's available at wretched.org, would say, are you sure there isn't something more important like the gospel? I think that this is an interesting thought experiment. Let's just imagine back in the days when folks were getting together to become the moral majority. This was an evangelical effort to become more politically engaged, to respond to the things like Roe v. Wade, to get engaged in Washington, D.C., to try to affect the direction of the country. And now what we've seen 40 years later is, and I think that this is pretty safe, the world, unbelievers, are kind of annoyed at us because of it. Especially, and this isn't any sort of commentary, this is just reality, especially because of Donald Trump. Man was a lightning rod. And if you were affixed to him in any way, shape, or form, you received the wrath of the left. And we would do well to ask the question, so what have been the fruits of that? And if Jimmy is right, okay, we need to do some, but not like that. What is that? How much is that? Do we have offices in Washington, D.C.? Are we appearing on talk shows to engage in the political issues? Are our podcasts about nothing but politics, with Bible verses slapped to them on occasion, by the way? Then maybe, just maybe, a reconsideration of the issue would change the complexion, at least of the attitude of the culture, to a degree they're always going to hate us. Isn't that what 1 John tells us? 1 John 2, verse something. Oh, see, there it is again. I'm worried
about you.
And I even wrote it. I've started this thing. I don't know what got me to do this, because I have to tell you, if you told me that I was going to be doing this a few years ago, I'd be like, nah, ain't my style. But I think I was convicted by the former football coach of the Athens, Georgia, the Bulldogs football team. That's what they're called down there. Mark Richt. Go into his office if they let you in, because they probably have security and such. But I was brought in, snuck in really, by a friend. And on his desk, he had cards with the Bible verses he was memorizing. Okay, so it's taken me a decade to get with the program. Started doing that. And one of the verses was from 1 John, that the world, you should expect the world to hate you. It's 1 John, just look that one up yourself. Okay, they haven't started working yet. But they're gonna. I'm sure of it. Might it be time for us to really step back and do our best to, let's do some interpreting of history rightly in a limited fashion, to see if maybe, just maybe, it's time for the church to be, oh, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh, the church. It's time for the church to be the church, to be caring about its sheep. Any pastor who smells like the sheep will tell you the people that you go to church with, and perhaps you yourself, are hurting. They are struggling. They want to get through life. They want their families intact. They don't want to be fretting over finances. Health issues abound. Sin issues are staggering. And we're in Washington, D.C., trying to persuade the Congress to have some protections for an Islamic mosque being built in New Jersey. What? 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 Perhaps with this historic SBC conference, this is a chance for us to reconsider history and maybe, just maybe, make some adjustments. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. North Carolina lawmakers have sent a bill which bans abortions based on a diagnosis of Down syndrome to the governor's desk for his signing, although the governor will probably veto it. House Bill 453 not only bans abortions based on Down syndrome, but also prohibits the procedure based on the unborn baby's sex or race. If a mother attempted to get an abortion because she wanted a son and not a daughter, a doctor must deny her an abortion under the new law. The bill was approved by senators in North Carolina last week, which sends the bill now to Governor Roy Cooper's desk. But as I said, the governor will most likely veto the measure since he has vetoed pro-life legislation in the past. But many other states, like Florida, Arizona, and South Dakota, have passed legislation intended to protect unborn babies with Down syndrome. And speaking of abortion, last week, Gallup released a new poll on sanctity of life issues, and in their coverage, many mainstream media outlets have attempted to argue that there has been an increase in public support for the legal murder of babies. The new survey found that 47% of Americans think abortion is morally acceptable, which is a record high. Additionally, though, the survey found that since 2019, there has actually been a slight decrease in the percentage of Americans who want to see the Supreme Court uphold Roe v. Wade. Meanwhile, 52% of Americans report believing that abortion should be illegal. Well, the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms in Canada announced that Grace Life Church, Pastor James Coates, and three church congregants have filed a court application against Alberta Health Services, Health Minister Tyler Shandro, and Chief Medical Officer of Health Dina Henshaw to force the Canadian government to return the building and grounds of the church. Pastor Coates and Grace Life are charged with violating the Public Health Act for having held normal church services from November 2020 through Easter Sunday. Pastor Coates spent 1 month and 6 days in jail before his release on March 22nd. The Grace Life applicants contend that public health restrictions on worship violate their rights to freedom of religion, freedom of expression, freedom of peaceful assembly, freedom of association, liberty, and security of the person as protected by Sections 2 and 7 of the Charter. In addition to asking the court to strike down the public health restrictions, the Grace Life applicants are seeking the immediate return of their building and an order from the court prohibiting law enforcement and government agents from attempting to break up or disrupt worship services. A few tweets denying the possibility of changing one's sex led to blowback from a transgender lobby and cost a British researcher and feminist her job in November 2019. Now, a year and a half later, Maya Forstatter has defended her right to believe in biological reality. I'm not sure why that is something that needs to be defended, but Forstatter's case was heard for the first time at an employment tribunal in London in November 2019, and a judge at the time ruled that Forstatter's beliefs were merely philosophical, not material, and they were harassing to people who claimed to be a member of the opposite sex than the one they were born. But on June 10th, a justice overturned the employment tribunal's earlier judgment. According to the new ruling, those who share Forstatter's critical view of transgenderism in the UK are legally protected from discrimination under the Equality Act of 2010 in the United Kingdom. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. 64 AD. After fire ravages Rome, Emperor Nero blames Christians and unleashes the first state-sanctioned persecution of Christians.
Roman persecution would continue for 250 years until Emperor Constantine officially recognized and defended Christianity. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, somebody's got some splaining to do. This is Wretched Radio, the Southern Baptist Convention. It's all the talk, at least it should be, because it is the largest Protestant denomination in the U.S. of A. And there are at least three, I would argue there are four issues that are roiling. Now, they're both boiling and roiling. It's that hot, it's that messy. The issue of political engagement, the issue of critical race theory, the issue of the role of women in the church, all swirling subjects at the Southern Baptist Convention with 14,000 messengers attending. At least they may even get a swell at the door. Some people are predicting 16,000 people will be attending as messengers this year. But I think that there's a fourth issue that is also thorny, ugly, very problematic. Don't know if you are aware of this, but some emails were leaked. You know how that works, because, Jimmy, my emails, there they are in my private folder, and they just go flying out sometimes.
You can't help it.
I don't even click a button. Somehow they just get released out there when it has all kinds of vague accusations inside of them.
Funny how that works.
It is. Well, Russell Moore, he was the former, he's now resigned, the former head of the ERLC. That is the political arm of the Southern Baptist Convention. He had leaked. Just mysteriously, a couple of emails leaked, and he made some accusations. Woo! Somebody's got some splaining to do. He was making accusations without naming names that especially the executive committee and even systematically inside of the SBC, racism is rampant. No names, no specific examples, but that's a big accusation. Hold on. They get worse. Sexual abuse of adults and children. Russell Moore claiming there's been a cover-up by the ERL, or by the Southern Baptist Executive Committee, and specifically, gulp, two individuals that did get named from the article at Religion News. It states that he claimed that Ronnie Floyd and Georgia pastor Mike Stone had tried to delay attempts to deal with abuse and to silence abuse survivors. Whoa. That's serious business. Now, the good news is the executive committee has hired an organization called the Guidepost Solutions. They investigate accusations in local churches or in ministries. And so it is the executive committee who was labeled, no particular names, but was labeled as being racist and covering up abuse. Whoa. They're going to investigate. And I hope that they have access to everything necessary to make a clear-cut ruling on this. Because no matter how you slice this cake, somebody's got some splaining to do. Either Ronnie Floyd and Mike Stone have been trying to cover up abuse and have been delaying attempts to deal with abuse and silence abuse survivors. If that's the case, they got some splaining to do. If it turns out, nope, that accusation was wild and unsubstantiated, then Russell Moore has some splaining to do. This is a report that is well worth watching. And I will say this, props to the executive committee. They engaged somebody to figure it out. Now, I know some people might say they should have done it sooner, should have done it. They did it. So let's see what the results are. And one last note on Southern Baptist Convention business, maybe. We think he's a former Southern Baptist, but I wonder, just wonder, if he's tipping his hand a little bit. If you're not familiar with Tabiti Anyabwile, likable fellow who is the darling of the Gospel Coalition, perhaps still is, has been one of the leading proponents of CRT, critical race theory, even pushing for reparations, claiming that they're biblical. We've dealt with those issues before. Are reparations actually biblical as we are understanding them today? And Tabidi has been one of the leaders in that. And now he just wrote an article with the headline that says, "Why I Advocate for Women Church Planters as Biblical and Necessary." Now, I don't know how a particular church pastor can't be assuming some of the responsibilities of being an elder. I'm not sure. And it wasn't really spelled out and made clear. But I wonder just maybe if this is going to be a sign of things to come regarding the role of women, which, again, it is an issue in the Southern Baptist Convention. It's worth watching and it's worth praying about. Back to our good news. Jimmy, thanks to you, we basically took a half an hour excursus into Southern Baptist Convention world. But I've got good news here, buddy boy. And we're going to get to it.
How good is it?
Oh, it's so good. I think maybe you reported this on the news. I heard you talk about this on the news. This is just kind of a fun story, frankly. Yeah. Toledo, Ohio, there's a new ruling that says that you can't stop anybody who's going into an abortion clinic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right? So they were like, yikes, what are we going to do here? In February, the Toledo City Council introduced a measure called the Patient Safety Ordinance, prohibiting the counselors from coming within 8 feet of anyone. Well, that's good. They won't get the COVID then, of course. And that's a good ruling right there. As long as the government's controlling everything, they can't get within 8 feet of people. It's the only abortion clinic left in Toledo, maybe even all of Ohio, if I'm not mistaken. And so what did they do? They bought, they raised the funds. It was $35,000. To purchase the parking lot right next to it so they can stand in the parking lot they own, and as people pass through it, they can talk to them on their private property. I love that. Way to go, whoever you people are. And props for taking a great deal of effort to try to reach people before they terminate their own child, which provides me the opportunity to encourage you to also get into the game. Preborn.org/wretched is another way to frankly just flat out save lives. An ultrasound saves a life 80% of the time. Furthermore, women and dads are taken care of. Babies are provided for. Diapers, Similac, Infamil, whatever's got crib. Just saw a video from Preborn, a woman sitting with her twin daughters talking about how the ultrasound caused her to say, for some reason, she thought she was going to get an abortion. Ultrasound revealed two babies are in there. Uh-uh. And there were the two girls sitting next to her. And she made it clear they took care of us. They helped us get on our feet. That's preborn.org/wretched. Got more good news for you, Jimmy.
Let's have it.
Go ahead and guess. How many languages? Well, I got to tell you the details first.
Oh, you said guess.
Then it would be like bubble gum and bicycles. I mean, how many languages has the Bible been translated into?
Oh, my goodness.
Did you say 700?
That's what I was thinking.
Well played, sir. 700 languages. That's a big deal. The American Bible Society, the Wycliffe Bible Translators, they are grateful to God. The Bible has been translated into its 700th language. Now we've only got a few thousand more to go. But nevertheless, name a book. Go ahead and name a book that has been more scrutinized, studied more by academicians, translated more, and has stood the test of time. You're not going to find one. More good news. Well, 62% good news. Americans oppose allowing boys who identify as females to compete in girls' sports, according to a George, not the Barna, but the Gallup. 62% of your compatriots have an ounce of common sense. I can't say they have 2 ounces, but at least 62% of them are like, no, that's not really good. that boys who think they're girls can now compete in the women's events, winning a lot, crushing their faces in the boxing ring, stealing medals and golf tournaments. 34% of Americans, however, believe the trans-identified athletes should be allowed to play on sports teams that correspond to their gender identity. Support was highest in that regard amongst, here's a shocker, self-described liberals, Democrats, women, and college graduates. Am I suggesting college makes you dumb? No, I'm telling you. College makes you dumb. That doesn't mean you shouldn't go, but you need to know they are going to try to persuade you of a worldview that is anything but biblical. And this is not the first poll where we've seen this, where common sense, it just gets etch-a-sketched out of the kids' noggins when they run to the university, and it gets replaced with bad software called secular humanism. But 62% of Americans have an ounce of common sense. This is Wretched Radio. You are one of those people who considers long and hard to whom you're going to give your discretionary funds. Don't blame you for that. Would like to let you know, if you are considering preborn.org, that they are a holistic ministry, not like Whole Foods, not all hippy-dippy. I mean, they're well-rounded. Not only ultrasounds for women who are considering abortions, which 80% of the time save the child's life, they do that. They also counsel the mommies, help them to become good mommies. They provide clothing. They provide diapers. They provide baby food. And if that isn't holistic enough, they counsel the dads, because 84% of the time dads are involved, boyfriends are involved with the abortion. They're pressuring the women. And Preborn teaches them how to be men who can be good dads. Sound holistic enough? Preborn.org. Preborn.org.
All right, so what are some of the best combinations you can think of? Rice and beans? Bacon and eggs? How about you and Wretched? Yep, that's right. When you become a Wretched Gospel partner, you and Wretched become one of the best combinations in the world. Combining our efforts allows us to reach more people all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's like peanut butter and jelly. Separately, they're pretty good, but combined together, they become great. And thanks to you, Wretched is among the top 5% of all podcasts across platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and all the others. Together, we have reached millions. As a matter of fact, check this out. Wretched has been downloaded nearly 11 million times. That is an amazing feat that we want to increase. Get all of the details on becoming a Wretched Gospel partner right now by visiting wretched.org/donate. Or you can text the word Wretched to the number 44321. You and Wretched, it's even better than salt and pepper.
You know Paul and Cindy Marty. They are the founders and the runners of the Tomorrow Clubs, kids clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. Not only did the kids get saved.
We were in the country of Hungary, and we were meeting with our country director. His name is Zoltan. And we asked him, Zoltan, how did you come to Christ? And he said, 4 years ago, my wife and I went to a neighboring village where they had a camp. And he said, we heard the gospel and got saved. And he said, our entire village that we were living in were atheists. 4 years ago, this is. And he said, now we're the only two Christians. Our kids have become Christians, and they have a Tomorrow Club with 30 kids. Can you imagine? But there are still fully atheist villages. It's a great white harvest out there.
Indeed there is. Would you like to help with that harvest? Please consider sponsoring a Tomorrow Club. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called a curse for us. When Adam sinned, all creation came under a curse, and everyone who breaks God's law is cursed. But Jesus bore our curse on the cross so that we may receive the blessings of God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sorry. No more news, because everything that happened in the past was racist. This is Wretched Radio. What are we going to talk about around the dinner table if it's not past events? But those are precisely the events that our current culture would like to erase. Why? Because pretty much anything that has happened to date was oppressive. Therefore, it's bad. I would like to ask a couple of questions about that premise. Is it possible? Is it possible that it could be both things? Now, let's say that there were people in the past and they did actually come up with systems. They did come up with ideas and they wanted to use those things to oppress. The answer is, yeah, but that doesn't make their ideas bad. But that is not the way the game is being played. When you, from the past, made any sort of discovery, you came up with an invention, it was done because you're racist and you are only inventing the blender or the eraser on the end of a pencil in order to oppress minority groups. Therefore, you've got to get rid of everything. Or is it possible that we need to understand how to read history, that we can look back and realize these were sinners, you know, like we are? These were people who were a mixed bag, just like we are. And I'll tell you, to the people who keep carrying the flag of we're on the right side of history, give it 50 years, you're on the wrong side. Because you've got areas in your life that civilizations in the future are going to look back and scratch their heads over. Why did they do that? Why did they think like that? That's going to be you. And we need to start to understand that when we look back, we can see, you know what? That dude, he had that area of his life that was bad, but did some good stuff. So we'll celebrate the good stuff. We'll fully disclose the bad stuff. But that doesn't mean we're going to cancel and decolonize our bookshelves. That's the latest. You need to decolonize your bookshelves. You need to decolonize them by removing white Western authors and replacing them with minority and marginalized voices. Get rid of everything that you've ever read by a white person because it's bad. It's got to go. And you need to decolonize. I thought this was a rather helpful presentation from the Federalists saying, here's why you shouldn't decolonize your bookshelf. What people group in the world has not at one time attempted to conquer or colonize other groups or nations? Should we look to African, Latin American, Japanese, Asian, or Muslim literature to diversify our reading? You can't. Why? Because every nation that there currently is conquered somebody. I just heard the date on this. The first king, I think this is right. I hope this is right, my British friends. The first king of England was in 900 and something. In other words, this is when it became England. There were all kinds of factions, but that was unified as that nation. Okay, was nobody living in England until the English came along? No. It was a group of people who said, we want that. We're going to take it. We think we can do a better job with it. We've got this. We've got a stronger military. That's every single nation. They were all swiped from somebody. Now, is that good? The answer clearly is no. But now what do we do with it? Consider American history. Were people mistreated by early Americans? Yeah, actually they were. And we can say that and also recognize they did some good stuff. And we don't applaud any sinful behavior. But now here we are, several centuries later, and there's really nothing you can do about it. There's nothing that you can't go back in time to fix it. So here we are with this nation, and you look at the history and you realize, have there been some bad things done by Americans? Of course there have. But has America done much good? And the answer is, of course it has. Back to the Federalist. For the history of each nation is riddled with imperialistic conquests. For most of human history, conquest and colonization were endemic to the human experience and widely accepted. That's just the way it was. the Muslims invaded, the Anglos pushed them back. There was taking, there was nabbing. That's why you look at a map from, well, even a decade ago. Why are the lines redrawn? Why don't the line? I remember being a kid and asking that question. How can the lines keep moving? I know why I asked the question. It was not because I was exhibiting early brilliance. Friel, you haven't yet. It was because I didn't want to have to memorize another map. Quit changing the lines. I just want to pass the quiz and go play tennis, okay? Instead, the lines were always moving. Why? Because conquests were always happening. Quote, no matter how much you squint and try to pack your bookshelf with marginalized or socially approved groups, the shelf is bursting with authors whose ancestors were at one time or another intolerant conquerors and colonizers. When is this going to stop? I think it's only when we recognize history is something we need to get a better grasp of. This epistemological arrogance, this chronological snobbery. Everything we currently think is on the right side of history, and it's brilliant, and everybody who came before us is bad. From 10 minutes ago, frankly, America, writes the Federalist, is the exception among colonizing nations of the past. Her founding foreign policy was one of non-intervention, and she has not historically acted as a colonizing power. Except with a brief stint in the Philippines at the turn of the 20th century, and some might argue the Afghanistan and Iraq wars. On this score, the best way to decolonize your bookshelf would be to read American authors. We've had the same number of states for a long time. Why? Because we don't go into nations to take them over and to set them up as colonies. Others do that still. America has not. I know its founding. Of course it was. Do we just stop and ask the question? Name the founding. Go ahead. What founding was perfect? What nation didn't make bad decisions, harm somebody, displace somebody? I'm not saying what they did is right. I'm just saying they did it. You can't have history without sin in it. Back to the Federalist. Thus, the first problem with the colonize epithet is that it relies upon a historically inaccurate and hypocritical double standard that heaps scorn, condemnation, and ridicule upon America and the West for being imperialistic, while looking the other way at other national, ethnic, or racial groups that did the exact same thing. If you decolonize your bookshelf, you will have no books on your shelf because everybody was a colonizer. You consider what's going on in Africa right now, the warring that is taking place, mostly the Muslims, but nevertheless, people grabbing, wanting, burning down, taking, terrorizing, it's happening now. And I think it's worthy of our time to talk about wars. Were they just? Were they colonizing affairs? Were they intended to wipe out people? All of those questions are fair game. But let's study history. Honestly, a second and greater problem with decolonizing your bookshelf is that the premise behind it is false. There's no such thing as a colonized or decolonized bookshelf because ideas are capable of being universally known and communicated. So you can't even, this premise itself is busted. There are transcultural and objective standards for truth, morality, and aesthetics that should be our overriding concern when reading or evaluating various literature. Not what approved, fashionable, or politically correct identity the author possesses. In other words, literature is not determined to be true based on the skin color of the person who wrote it. The idea, the invention? I mean, are we going to go back and cancel all of the people who invented scientific medicine that has helped society because they were white? How's about they invented some really good medicine? Oh, they happen to be white, and if they were racist or something else, we can take a look at that. But that doesn't mean we cancel somebody. What is that quote about throwing the first stone? Leftists who champion social justice, multicultural diversity, and identity politics are so quick to embrace the tools of power. such as silencing dissent, destroying property, tearing down statues, and intimidating and threatening any who might oppose them. Those tactics work. This movement, at its core, is a godless, morally relativistic, ahistorical, truth-defying, and self-destructed intellectual and spiritual pathology. To read a book or not based on the color of an author's skin, ethnic heritage, or country of origin is not only inane, but it is offensive and insulting and dehumanizing toward the author, and frankly, toward everyone. Decolonize your bookshelf, dare I say, good luck. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.